What's good, y'all? It's that time of the year, and we've got bills to pay. So if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some new merch. If about 10% of you listening right now donate $10 to support the show, we'd have enough to cover an entire year's worth of cost of production. Over the years, I've been very intentional about turning down ads for things that didn't align with our values, so you don't have to listen to us talk about gambling or boner pills or any of that other crap. But that's only possible through the support of you, our listeners. So we've created some new ways for you to support, and again, if you enjoy listening to the show, hit the links in the description to support by donating, joining our Patreon, or buying some of our new merch. And of course, don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you, and we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Now let's get into today's show.
Jordan trying to shake off Starks. Oh, what a move! Oh, LeBron James with no regard for human life! 12 seconds.
Bryant for the win! Bang! Iverson! Against Gil, the crowd on its feet. Allen for the win!
Welcome to the Sneaker History Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? It is Mike. We are back with another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. And since I'm running the solo show, you know it's a Coffee Time Kicks. And I got a very, very special guest today. I mean, he goes without any introduction needed. Recording artist. I like to even call him part of sneaker media. He is a designer. He is a sneaker collaborator. I feel like you can just have a business card. It just kind of rolls out. But I got one, Mr. Trinidad James. What's going on, Trinidad? How you doing, brother?
How you doing, brother? How you doing? What's going on? What's up?
Man, not much, man. I appreciate the time, man. I've been a fan of everything you've been doing from sneakers to your corresponding work when it came to Full Size Run and things you did with Complex, man. You just really...
Thank you.
Yeah, someone for, like, truly... in the sneaker culture and doing something about it. It's not just, you're not just like taking from the sneaker culture, but you're trying to provide something back, man. So I really, really appreciate what you're doing out there.
No, it's truly a great thing to be appreciated for things that you want to be appreciated for. Adding value to communities is something that I really try my best to strive and do. So when it's, you know, when people see it and like can actually appreciate it, it's something that I don't take for granted because that's what I want to do. Like, I want to bring value to something. You know, Complex was already Complex. However, it's like a big platform, too. You know what I'm saying? It's like a lot of people be like, dang, they don't be hiring nobody. Or why they not hiring people? Or why they not doing this? Like, bro, you got to bring value to something that's already popping. You know what I'm saying?
Yep. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people say that. I mean, people jump into the sneaker game in a sense of, you know, whether making videos, whether writing up pieces. There's like, man, I want to get noticed immediately. But like you said, you got to bring value, which takes time and a lot of work. And Trinidad, you've definitely been putting in the work from, I mean, you go back to 2012. I mean, I think, and that was probably the, I like to call it when sneakers hit mainstream. Sneakers have already been popular, but
right.
Sneakers in 2012 hit this, like, just this pinnacle of people knew about them from Galaxy Phone releases to all that stuff. And I remember your single and all gold everything. You already talk about how you're differentiating yourself from a hype beast. In a single line of a song, you differentiate yourself from a hype beast, which at that time, that term wasn't a term of endearment at that point. You know, it's like, at that point, it's like, hey, no, I'm... in my lane, my individualism, while the hype beasts are doing this, that, and the third. Now, people take hype beasts, like, oh, yeah, I'm that. But you can tell that, again, you were cut from a different cloth because your fashion, even then, shoe choices, even then, have been a very deep cuts, very individualized things that you get into, which I think are really the makings of what a sneakerhead or a sneaker collector, whatever you want to call us at this moment. That's what it's all about, man.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate that, man. You know, it's so interesting. You talked about, I almost wore Galaxy Phone Posits today.
Nice.
But it's raining. I was just like, because I still got my ones that I camped for. It's so cool that my store is two blocks over from where I camped for first Galaxies. So it's nobody like 5 days for the first Galaxies. But Nike actually sent me the new Galaxies as a gift, like just to kind of pay respects to me camping for him back in the day. So, you know, awesome. There is some really like small level, but cool. Like if you care about sneakers, I'm like, that's dope. Like that's the type of stuff that I always think that brands should do, you know, because I don't look at myself as, you know, this like type of celebrity that's like untouchable. It's like, bro, I'm in the streets. Like somebody can come in the store right now. You know what I'm saying? I'm in the trenches. Like if you know where we at, like I'm in the trap right now. This is the trap I was in when before I even did music, you know, and I'm back in the trap, but like with a different, you know, intentions and just way more opportunities and way better leverage and ownership. So it's just, it's dope, man. It's really, really dope.
Yeah. And a lot of people, I mean, they'll get famous, they find their success and they don't go back. They will, you know, oh, maybe I throw a couple dollars here, you know, donate to this, that, and the third. But you went back and you put this, you know, what will grow into a staple of fashion, a staple of sneakers, and a staple of culture with Homework, which your brand's been around since 2020, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and so now 5 years later, you got, like you said, this moment of being able to put, you know, plant the seed an actual physical brick and mortar store where you have a place where people can come hang out, people can see what you're doing, you can bring in other creatives and, you know, their clothes, whatever you're doing. Like, that is something a lot of people talk about, strive about, but it's hard to do. You know, it's just in it's something that you can't really do it all the time. But man, how's that feel? Being like you said, you're sitting in your office right now at the store. Like, how does that feel being able to say, you know what? I did it.
No, I mean, I'm doing it, man. You know, it's like I'm such a real time person. I don't live in the past. Mm-hmm. I appreciate all the things I've done in the past, but I don't live in it, man. Like I'm trying to see how can I change the world today? How can I make things pop today? You know, how can I bring, like, once again, bring value to somebody in this day and age now? Like one of the things that we always say with the brand is like, we don't sell clothes, we sell confidence. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like my dad's socks and stuff like that. Like, it's not just about like just normally being a dad. I don't have any kids, or whatever, but it's a nickname that I've had for the last, you know, 10 years, 8 years, you know what I'm saying? But the dad stands for destroying all doubt.
Yeah.
You know, because like we all have doubters. And sometimes that main doubter starts with ourselves, man, where we doubt ourselves because things are not happening at the time that we wanted it. I got into music 13 years ago, not to be famous, but to have this store. I wanted this store when I worked here. You know what I'm saying? And 13 years later, I finally got it, you know, and it's like, damn, it's just awesome. It's so crazy. The dude who I used to work for, who had it for 10 years, he came by the store yesterday to say what's up and check it out.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's cool, man. I don't have beef with people, too. Like, to talk, going back to what you just said about people, like, get famous and then they don't come back to where they came from. You know, a lot of times, man, it's because of the things that they was doing when they were where they're from. Like, of course, like, nobody really liked them like that. You know, they didn't really, they only liked that they was popping, but they didn't like the person. The artist is not the man. I always tell my clients and, like, the kids, it's like the man makes, or the woman makes the artist. The artist don't make the man, the artist don't make the woman.
Yeah.
So if that means that, the reason why I say that is people will get popping off of a song or album or whatever, right? They got all this motion. And yeah, people from your city will love the music. But then now when you separate the music and now you start talking about how you feel about the man or the woman, I hate that. I don't fuck with it. That motherfucker fucked up.
Yeah, it's like, I like when he was on the radio, but I don't want to talk to him in person.
Exactly. So that's why they don't come back to their hood. That's why they don't come back to the trap, because they can't really, because they kind of subconsciously burnt bridges with the people in that community.
Dang. You know what? When you say it like that, I don't think anybody ever thinks about it that way. They're like, oh, your friend, just go back. And some people don't go back. It's like, hey, look, they don't mess with me like that, because I've done X, Y, Z.
We don't fuck with him. We don't fuck with her.
Yeah.
We fuck with the success. It made the city look good.
Yeah.
Cool. How whatever, but we don't fuck with him like that, because he don't fuck with us like that.
Yep. No, that's exactly what happens. You'll see that in a lot of, like I say, a lot of big artists, a lot of big actors, whatever, fill in the blank, designers, and it's just like, cool, I'll rep that I came from this city, but I ain't going back, you know? But it makes a lot of sense. But something you've done through your entire career up until the present, you know, seem to been your authentic self the entire time across the board, no matter what it be, the music, to being on Full Size Run, to now in your endeavor with the fashion, the space, the store, the brand, it has always been Trinidad. And in a world where people are trying to I don't know. It seemed like, especially in sneakers, they're looking for a cookie cutter sometimes to, you know, be the face of the culture, which we see a lot. How did you manage to remain yourself, not sacrifice who you are, and still be able to get into the room, or, you know, be able to do the things, the projects you've been able to, you know, you've been blessed with?
I think that the biggest blessing that I ever received, man, was that God gave me the chance to come in as a leader and not a follower. Mm-hmm. So when Trinidad James came in, you know, 13 years ago, I wasn't coming in looking like anybody else. I wasn't coming in sounding like anybody else. So God blessed me with being a wave starter and not a wave follower. I wasn't a part of the wave. I was the wave. Yeah. So that means that, like, when you're the blueprint, now that's the main thing that you must remember within this journey or whatever. You know, the goal is to take that blueprint and keep regurgitating something that allows you to garner that same success every time. But it doesn't work out that way. You know what I'm saying? Like, I had to understand that it's like, what is my purpose if it's not to keep making all go everything's, right?
Yeah.
And so that's why you started seeing me, hey, well, let me open up my repertoire to all the things I like. And then that just helped me to realize myself as a man. It's like, I am a person of, I don't like to just be stuck in one box. Mm-hmm. I love to entertain. I don't want to be the best rapper. I never did.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I never will be. The best rapper already been working harder than me 10 years before I came in the game. You know what I'm saying? Like, in my 20s, bro. You know what I'm saying? So it wasn't like I was doing this as a teenager. You know, I made the decision to do music in my 20s, and God gave me the success right then and there. And so, you know, I already came in seasoned as a man, rookie as an artist. So my career has been me turning that rookie into, you know, getting to veteran and more knowledge. But the man, I never stopped working on the man while I was working on the artist. And that's what you've been able to see over these last 13 years.
Yeah. And when you say that, that's crazy, because you think about it. When people are in these situations.
What's up? I'm doing this interview right quick. Yeah.
And it's in anything. Like, so even from something as simple as, hey, you know what? I want to start this YouTube channel. I want to start this Instagram page or whatever, or getting bigger into music. People are working on a character. Like, hey, what does this character look like? How do I do that? And you've done a complete opposite, which has, I think, quite garnered you the respect of whatever room you go into. You're like, hey, like you said, I've been working on Trinidad, the man, for, you know, however long I've been alive. I'm not going to change to be this person I'm not, or provide this fake mask or portrayal of myself that's not sustainable.
It won't be. You got to, it's like, that's a crack high. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're always going to be chasing that hit. Like, you know, a lot of people tried to make me chase that hit, like chase all, go everything.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like that would have made me burn out.
Yeah.
You know, it would have threw off my character as the man.
Yep.
You know, especially like a lot of people will make you try to chase something and they won't show you how to chase it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I kind of took the time to understand the process. You know what I'm saying? Like, what goes into making great records? And so I had to become a better writer. I had to become a better listener.
Yeah.
I had to, you know what I'm saying? There's a lot of things that comes along with it that I didn't have that prior experience before getting my fame. As soon as I started doing music, I became the guy that you know. You know, and so with that being understood, and, you know, me just realizing that, I stopped beating myself up about the blessing that God gave me and started letting it flow through me of like, okay, well, what do you want me to do with this blessing that I have? Yeah. And that's just what it ends up turning into Full Size Run. It turns into acting and Will Smith and Adam Sandler and just all these things that, like, the dude from the trap got this going on, the immigrant dude from the trap, you know, I'm not even from America, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's just different, man. Just different, you know, like being able to be appreciative of and letting the universe actually work in your favor compared to working against it based on what people are telling you to chase.
Yep.
And what the social media is telling you to chase makes a big difference, bro.
Yeah. And, you know, something that you said a couple times that really resonates with me is that you have God in your life. I mean, I'm big in just like the faith of everything. And, you know, and it was funny. I was talking to your homeboy, Matt Welty, last week. He hopped on with us, and same thing, just having that faith, like, guide you, which is something that me being a dad, a husband, and trying to figure out whatever the heck this whole endeavor is I'm doing in this, the podcast and then the sneaker channels. It's like, gotta have faith that God's time is going to put you in the right place. Like, you gotta work. Like, he ain't gonna do it all for you, but he'll open the door. You just gotta get your way through the door. And it's something you've done. And I love it. Like I said, you didn't take the traditional path. And as we talk about sneakers and traditional, I mean, when people do sneaker collaborations, like, give me the Nike, give me the Adidas, give me this. But you took one of my favorite brands and you've done, correct me if I'm wrong, you've done 5 collaborations with Saucony now?
Six.
And I mean, I got one of the bad boys right here. So shout out to the homie Jason. He sent me these a while back. So
shout out to Jason, man. Good dude.
Man, you have, and I love it because, again, you didn't take the hottest sneaker at the time, but you took something with a lot of history behind it and put more history in it, telling the story. And dude, when I made my review of this shoe, when I got this in hand, I was completely blown away by what you did materials wise. Dude, this is a beautiful shoe. Like, how did you decide to tell this story of that basketball player and then decide, you know what, and put it all together? Like, what's your process in this, man?
It's the, I use the Triple C, but before the Triple C is comfort, colorway, cost, right? So it has to be comfortable. Yeah, the colorway has to make sense. However, then the cost has to be effective. But before, that's just like in general design, right?
Yeah.
But before then, but we had to do our homework. Like, literally, that's the brand. Like, we are very, you know, very true to the brand, bro. It's like, I didn't go to college. My my research skills are not the best or whatever. That's the most beautiful thing about college. College teaches you how to like really find stuff. When you're doing research, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so, and I can't take all the credit. Like, people that work with me, you know, they help me. And, you know, my strong suit is the vision and understanding the colorways and color theory and things of such. But like, when it comes to the knowledge, it has to feel right to me. Yep. Like, literally right now, before I was talking to you, I was doing my homework for the next collection and stuff like that. Nice. And I was just like, oh my God, this is a lot of work. You know what I'm saying?
Research is a killer, man. Research is an absolute killer. Research, you're like, okay, I got to make sure it's real. I mean, I want to fact check it out. This thing is, exactly. But I want that's the mantra of the brand though, man. It's like, keep learning. Yeah. And that's what people need to do because everyone wants it so fast. Being able to go and dig and do the work is so fulfilling when you have that knowledge in the back of your mind.
Man, 1000%, bro. So, you know, that's why for us is like, we don't have as many collections as other people, but our collections, you know, pretty much almost sold out, all of it. And when people find out about it, they shop it, they buy it because it's like, oh, it's intentional, it's real, the quality is there, the colorways make sense, you know what I'm saying, for like what's happening in life with community. And so with that shoe, man, it was the same thing, man. It's like, just basically, okay, understanding, see, because I have a sneaker background and knowledge, I understand like high tops is not the most popular shoe anymore at the time. But it's still a person for it. And, and you know, it still holds weight if it's done correctly. The right high top come out, we love it. And, you know what I'm saying? That's just the truth. And so I was like, you know, let me actually do this for women's basketball because I've been a fan for a while and some of my good friends are like our ex-WNBA players. And I was like, you know what? If I do something that's just like a male basketball player, like I was going to do Xavier McDaniels. I started doing my homework with.
Yeah,
because he actually wore the shoe back in the day. But I felt like I work with so many women now on the music side of things. It just didn't feel right to just do something that was so male dominated. It just was a deeper story when I found out about Lucia. And just, you know, that whole idea of her being the godmother of basketball and then her not getting the love that she was supposed to, man. So that's kind of like, well, we're like the voice of the voiceless. You know, when a story's not told all the way, we want to add some more on to it so that like interviews like this will catch somebody's ear. And then that kid who was in college right now and like designing, oh, they can come and do a better job than me.
Yeah. It's always about building the next generation up. And I like that because a lot of times, unfortunately, I mean, you and I have been in the sneakers for a long time. You look up, it's a lot of gatekeeping goes on on both sides, the consumer side and, of course, the design side. People don't want you doing as good as them. But the fact that you're able to you're hoping for the next generation to come up and do better. You're pushing that thought process of, hey, keep doing your research, keep doing your homework. And
it still matters. It still matters. I don't care. It still matters. Anytime if you come in my shop, I'm going to tell you about the pieces. I'm going to tell you about all our muses. I'm going to tell you about the other brands that we carry too that are not my brand. You know what I'm saying? And if it's story there to tell, because people need to know what they're wearing. People need to know what they're investing into. Money is becoming way more inflated, and the price of things is going up crazy. You know, the world is in a very interesting path right now in general as an entire, in its entirety. You know what I'm saying?
You're not lying, man. You're not lying.
I don't want to be a part of that narrative of just selling shit to be selling shit. You know, it's a way deeper, a way better intentions with us over here, man.
Yeah, and you know what? I think when you put it that way, like seeing your perspective of it, joining, like you can always see what people join certain brands, like when it comes to partnerships, and you joining Saucony with that mindset, I think is perfect, because I've told this to people like countless times. You look at whether it be collaborations with partners like you, partners like Jay Tips, you guys are telling stories, but also Saucony is very mindful of telling their own stories when it comes to in-house product or inline product. So you guys being able to have that, you know, working with someone like Jason, who's really like, hey, let's get this story out. You guys do it the way you want it. Let's get it together. I think that speaks volumes, instead of just like, hey, let's slap a color on it. Hey, Trinidad, put your name on there. Don't worry about us in the design room. We'll figure that out and just move along. But being a part of it really, I think, for me, that's just a big part of like my purchasing or who I want to be around when it comes to creating this content. It's like, I want it to mean something. And the fact that, like, we talk about doing research, I tell you, man, I sit on my computer, my phone for upwards of like 2-3 hours looking up Lucia Harris. I didn't know about her until I got the shoe, digging into it. I had no idea about the Houston Angels. I was like, I'm in Houston. I had no idea about that.
Look, that's crazy, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, and that's what I do it for. That little piece, you know what I'm saying? That's why we even put the little bit of blue lace in the thing, you know what I'm saying?
I was gonna ask you about the blue lace. Like, why was the colors? I was like, okay, I'm digging through black and white pictures trying to find colored pictures. I'm like, okay, I see the blue is for that's the only team that has the color blue is the Houston Angels. But why the orange? Where'd the orange come from?
The orange was for the WNBA.
Ah, okay, I was right. That's I've been racking my brain. I was like, one day I'm going to find it. Before we even talked, before we even like got this interview together, I was like, I need to ask you, some point in life, was it for the WNBA? Because that's orange, which made sense to me. Mm-hmm. And all right.
Because
now,
it's really for women's basketball. It was a gift for women's basketball, but a story that needed to get some light shine to it was Lucia's.
Perfect. All right. I feel a little bit like completed now on this whole, that was like the one blank I had. I just need to know why it's orange. And that's what I was thinking, but that's okay. Cool, man. So as you like do these projects, so we talk about the Sauconys, we talk about homework as a brand, and I know most of your roots are laid down in Atlanta. That's where we are now, but you also grew up a little bit in New York, correct?
Yeah. I live a lot of places, man. Canada, New York, Jacksonville, Florida, Canada. You know what I'm saying? Obviously Trinidad, you know, so I've been around as a kid.
So reason I asked that is because the places you named, from Trinidad to New York to Atlanta, heck, Canada, they all have their own, like, things are known for fashion-wise. I mean, you talk just New York and Atlanta by themselves, you got Atlanta's more bright colors, definitely more into the experimental with clothing, when New York is going to have more of that, you know, Air Force One energy, a little grittier, a little bit more, you know, like the Carhartts, the jeans, the denims.
Yeah.
How do you, have you taken all those? It neutrals, there you go. Are you, do you take all that and like all your experience and that's how you combine them into the things that you are able to produce or the projects that you're able to work on?
Bro, it's streetwear. Like I'm doing streetwear. I'm not doing high fashion. I'm doing streetwear where it has to have a story and it has to make sense with like the everyday fly person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like man or woman, it just has to make sense with that. Like, you know, I'm not in competition with, you know, the game has moved to where now streetwear and luxury doing the same thing. So now that's why you got to pay $400, $500 for a t-shirt. And you know what I'm saying? All these crazy prices for stuff that's the same thing as Crooks and Castles, the same thing. You know what I'm saying?
It's like, yeah.
It's like, what? But, you know, it is what it is. It's like, I want to make sure that as long as I'm alive and doing it, that I could always show you how it's supposed to be done. Yeah. This is how I came up on this formula of streetwear. And it don't have to change. You don't have to tax people. The quality still can be great. You can have this jacket forever. You can have, you know what I'm saying? You can have your t-shirts. People love my t-shirts. You know what I'm saying? All my customers and my repeating customers and things like that. Like, we have like a mailing list now, or a customer base of like 4,000 people.
Oh, nice, man.
On my website, you know what I'm saying, over these last 4 or 5 years. And that was a blessing to see, like, when my tech guy showed me that, I was like, damn, for real? You know what I'm saying? Like, really, really building a cachet of people that are like, nah. And a good number of people who are like repeat buyers, you know, bought all my shoes, they buy our shirts and things. And then when people come to my pop-ups, or when I go do like sneaker events and stuff like Got Soul, and, you know, do pop-ups and stuff like that, you know, they come and like rocking this stuff and like, hey, man, this is one of my favorite socks, or, you know, things like that. Because once again, that triple C formula of, you know, comfort, colorway, cost, that's for the 4C, community. I'm for the community. You know what I'm saying? That's what I'm designing for. Like, I'm trying to be Zara, H&M.
Yeah. Gap,
you know what I'm saying? Like, Old Navy.
Affordable, like, but still look good.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you still can get it off. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still, you can go in the spot, because it's really you at the end of the day. The clothes don't make you, you make the clothes. Yep. So once again, we're selling confidence.
Yeah. And that's cool, because a lot of people, they think they got to go buy a $300, $400 t-shirt. I mean, hey, if you got it like that, cool. But
like, you know what I'm saying? This ain't no diss to that person. Like, bro, do what you got to do. I got some to myself, but it's just that it don't have to be that way. And I remember, like, when I do homework, you know, because it's the reason why I'm at a school-based brand, too, is, like, I remember in school, I ain't had none of that stuff. You know, I had to make it work. But I was still fly, still, you know, almost one best dressed, you know, not having none of that designer stuff in high school. You know, literally, you know, I lost to somebody that wore designer stuff. And it wasn't, it was their brother's stuff. It wasn't even their stuff. You see
but
what
you
I'm saying?
Right there doing your thing. Like, yeah, I can like, do right this there, without like, having
if,
spin.
If I came in second place, rocking all my stuff, and none of it was designer, and you won rocking your brother's stuff, who wasn't even in school, how whatever, is like, I won in my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, streetwear still matters, and streetwear is something that it leads with confidence. My confidence is what got me to that final battle.
Yeah. And streetwear is something that's like, I think people mistake it for streetwear is this brand. I don't think that's the case, because, like you said, you make the clothes. The clothes don't make you, and
100%.
You can go to Target, you can go to Marshalls, you can go to, like you said, Zara,
Walmart.
H&M, Walmart, and you can throw a fit together. Like, I got four kids and a wife. I can't be going to the mall spending a bunch of money, so I make it, like, Target's my spot, bro. Like, I'm out here, like, and I find stuff on sale. Like, I don't hate buying stuff full price, and it's like, I can make this work. But do I love streetwear brands? Do I love the Stussy's out there where it started for me? Like, those things that, like, popped up, or DGK's when I was younger, like, when I was, like, in high school, it was like, oh, my God, like, this, like, those things. Yeah.
Right.
But I learned as time went on, it's like, I can take this, I can take that. Streetwear is a culture. It's like, is a mindset, I feel like, of, like, coming from this rebellious nature, skate culture, sneaker culture, music culture, all meshed together to give you this unique fit. Like, I don't want to look like everybody else, and that's something, again, I always respect about you, Trinidad. You're not out here with the same, like, the cookie cutter fit that everybody has on. It's like, hey, this is what I'm comfortable in, this is what I love.
That's what I'm saying. And the beautiful thing about it, I finally made it to that place where people understand that, bro, I'm never gonna be like them, but they appreciate me for me. And it's been beautiful, man. It's been real beautiful.
Yeah, man. And I mean, that shows in what you do, man. It's like, again, it goes back to what we talked about in the beginning. It's like, you're not putting on this mask or this character. And it's really cool to see that, man. And even in, because you're still making music. Is your single drop yet? the one you've been advertising? I saw it on there. Is it?
No, I just been marketing, man. I got by.
Okay, I thought so. Maybe. I mean, like, it's a drop. I haven't heard it, and it's like you have this still rap, of course, but you have this like this funk, this into it, this really just different sound that's super appealing. And again, it shines through what you do because you're able to say, you know what, forget the red tape, forget the shackles in this. I'm just gonna do this.
Yeah, man, like it. This is such a beautiful time to be Trinidad James because of the journey, bro. The journey just feels as powerful as it can be. I'm back in my favorite place. I'm back in my favorite thing to do, making money every day, you know, trapping out the spot. Like, this is the best version of me, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, music is too much of you do this for a period of time and then you gotta, like, no, it's like, I like better foundation than that. Music has never been good foundation. It's been always great moments and full of great highlights, you know? And so now I get to have foundation, open up more businesses. You know what I'm saying? I want to open a couple of businesses in Dallas, Texas in the next couple of years too, after I do some more here in Atlanta. You know what I'm saying?
Come on down like 3 hours south on 45. We're here in Houston too, dog. Like, come on.
I'd rather doing business in Houston is different than living in Houston. I'd rather live in Houston, do business in Dallas. How would that
be? I ain't mad at you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just different, bro. I got such a great relationship with Houston. I'd rather like stay on that level. Houston.
Like a personal level as opposed to business.
Yeah, let's keep it personal. Let's be cool. Let's hang out. Let's party. Let's, you know what I'm saying? Let's do shows. Let's record and things like that. But, you know, business brings a certain type of, like, energy and jealousy, however. And I don't ever want to see that side of Houston, however. Dallas, I don't have that type of presence there. I could just come. There's a lot of white people there. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just the type of business that I'm even trying to do. However, it makes more sense in Dallas. And then, like you said, I could, boom, catch a quick flight or take a drive down to Houston and hang out anytime I want to.
Yeah. What's the next venture look like for you? What's on your mind that you can talk about? I ain't gonna put your business in the street if you want to talk about it yet. But what you looking at?
I just put it in the word. It's going to be in the world of food.
Okay. Well, I love food, so, I mean, I'll come up for some food.
Nah, for sure. It'll definitely be worth it, man. And you'll be able to bring the kids, too, because it's that kind of vibe. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's definitely it's definitely going to be dope, man. Definitely. I'm going to do a couple of them first here in Atlanta, trying to do the first one in December. And so, you know, we'll see what God has in place, man, the universe has in place. But I'm just, like I said, man, I'm just happy to be back in the trap, bro.
Nice, man. Well, I got to ask because it was like, you know, even it's funny, even as a grown man, when you guys were doing this show, it's like, I look forward to this, like, on every Thursday, you know, drop full size Ryan. I've heard kind of like the, you know, shout out to the homie Hoss. He had Matt on the had Welty on his show as My First Kicks podcast. And he talked about how, you ended up being there, the third host after Rich had left. You came in after being a guest and like people loved you. Was that in your mind? You're like, you know what? I want to do this for a while. I want to be like a host. Like, how did that come to play on your side of things?
My accountant, who I put on the sneakers, he was watching the show before me, and he told me about the show. Yeah. And when I saw the show, it reminded me of a show that I used to do myself called Camp James.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, you know, I was like, let me see what these boys talking about here. And so I went in and was a guest, and I was like, okay, cool. And we did that. Awesome. And then I left, and then some time went past, not much time, actually.
Yeah.
My accountant hit me again and was like, hey, yo, they lost it. One of the dudes left. You should go do that. And I was like, why would I go get a job? Like, you know, traditional. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it was like, it didn't make sense at first. And then when I saw the bigger picture of like, you know, I need to understand the blogs better, understand how big media works. Yeah. It allowed me to kind of like, I see the bigger vision, and then I pitched it to them like, yo, let me take that spot. And they was like, basically, shout out to Rich Antonello, who used to own the spot.
Mm-hmm.
He was like, hey, bro, if you want to do it, we want to give it to you. What? Come on.
And so, come on down. And I shout out
for him. Like, it wasn't no like a bunch of back and forth. It's like, yeah, if you fly here to New York on your own dime, however, and tell us to our face that you want this, we're going to give it to you. And yeah, that's exactly what I did. I went out there. My buddy's name is Sergio Santos.
Okay.
He's from Atlanta. He's a really dope, big collector, huge collector, crazy Jordan collection. And we went to the complex building, and we sat in the room, and then everybody came in. That was somebody, the owner, this, that.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was like, hey, man, like, let's do it. Let's change culture. And, you know, we started in last place, and then we end up being, you know, right up there with Joe LaPuma, my guy. You know, so it's a blessing. Once again, you got to add value to these companies. It ain't just because you got, it got to make sense. You know what I'm saying?
No, I think it made sense because you guys had a fantastic dynamic. Like, each of you guys brought a different personality, a different viewpoint of things. And it wasn't just, I always love it because it just wasn't you guys agreeing with each other. And that's something on our podcast, when we have all four of us together, it's not just agreeing. Everyone has their own viewpoint. Everybody has their own style, which makes for a real conversation as opposed to, this sneaker's releasing. Great, we love it. Go ahead and next, everyone go buy it. Because you guys are not running a commercial. Like, that's not what you're there for, to be like, you like it? Cool. If not, it's crap. Let's just tell them what it is, you know?
Amen.
So, I mean, that's just something that, you know, I think that really added to sneaker culture, you know, in a good way, I think, because, again, this is a conversation that's being had. When it comes to homework, as it being like a creative space, do you ever see yourself doing any other kind of like more content like that? Anything that, you know, maybe something you do in-house, or maybe, you know, get the band back together?
No, I mean, the next thing I do will be by myself. But right now, I'm really focused on, like I said, man, business building, man. I got this itch, man, like getting my spot back or getting to my first spot.
Yeah.
It's like I said, I'm really focused on getting my food stuff going. And once those things are, like, you know, moving like a hamster wheel, you know, then I'll pop back out and, you know, and bring a version of sneakers that, once again, could add value to the community.
Yeah, man. Now, for the food, you can think about going to your roots, Trinidad, like that kind of Caribbean-style food, or you got something like...
It's way more American, but I'm always have an island twist in it. I'm Trini, so I'm always put an island twist in it. But it's definitely gonna be American. We in America, so you know, I'm gonna do what's gonna guarantee the win.
Yeah, I think of Bun B down here with his Chill Burger, which I haven't tried it yet because I think they're just a line there at all times. Like, I haven't even made myself there, but I was like, he's been super successful with that. I mean, but again, just like you, he kind of like he dove into it. Like, it's not just slap a name on it.
You got to lock in, bro. So that's why I've just been staying focused with the store, you know what I'm saying? Stacking, saving, making sure that everybody is taken care of that works with me, for me.
Yeah.
And like I said, once we, you know, jump over into food, you know, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
You know, I got some really close buddies, you know, and we're going to all do it together.
Nice.
You know, franchise it, monopolize it, you know, for sure, for sure.
Hey, that's what's up, man. And, you know, I am, and talk about growing, I am trying to do this thing now as a group. We're trying to do these, like, get outside. You know, it's easy to do these podcasts sitting in my office and I'm cool and go do whatever, but trying to get outside more. So doing these, we're going to do one that's a sneaker history trivia. I'm going out to Cigars International and doing a trivia night this next Sunday, 7 days from now, actually. So when you get this food spot built, I'm going to come bother you. Like, hey, look, I'm coming up to wherever you are. We're going to do a trivia night at this food spot.
For sure. That's what it's about. Any spot that I got a spot at, or whatever, like, I'm the person that brings the inclusiveness. I am inclusiveness.
That's you know a beautiful thing,
like,
man.
That's what it is. Like, I'm for our culture, you know, and making it make sense. And for the people, too. You know what I'm saying? Like, sneaker culture is not just a black thing.
Nope.
Is for everybody, you know. So it's just I try to make as many safe spaces as I can, man, for people to exist and be vulnerable, whatever, you know what I'm saying, and not feel judged for the thing that they love.
Yep. Nah, man, it's definitely, I think it's this big thing with sneakers. It used to be, I know, probably when we were younger in school, it's like, why are you buying so many sneakers? Like, what are you doing? Like, why is this? And it's like, now it's such as this mainstream thing. Like, what are your thoughts on where sneaker culture is right now? Like, how do you think it's something that has grown for the good? I mean, I know we have these kind of ebbs and flows with reselling becoming like super crazy now. Everything seems a little bit more accessible. As a consumer now, like, you're not really living in the on the media side of things, but as purely a consumer and then running a store, where do you see sneaker culture right now, and is it in a good place?
It's okay. You know, it's still a lot of work and things to just be flipped and changed. You know, I like that they got artists getting involved in it. Like Nike got a collab coming with this kid named Slow or something. He's a dope painter from overseas.
Yeah, he's the Air Max 90s.
Yeah. You know, so it's like paying attention to culture on that level of things. You know, I really miss Virgil, to be honest with you, because of just he understood high end, but he also understood the streets. And it's really hard to really get both and be respected by both.
Yeah.
So it's just about finding more brothers like that. You know, shout out to the Joe Fresh Goods, the Jack Tip. And, hey, you know, it's hard to get people that balance both. You know what I'm saying? But I think that Nike and all the big companies have enough money to keep throwing it at the wall till they figure it out. And, you know, you got other brands that's coming, too, with what they have, you know, like Asics and Salomon and Mon and things of such. But also I think that we're going to move into the era of people doing their own shoes too, you know, and that becoming a thing.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of, you've seen a lot of people doing it, but they're doing what they already saw, like a version of Air Force One or blah, blah, blah. Like there's going to be a kid and kids to come that's going to come with some shit, man.
You know,
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I feel like this spark of creativity is here. The sneaker landscape when it comes to producing a shoe or colorway, I feel like it's just the sky's the limit at this point. There's so many things that can be done. And I really love, like, you started naming off brands like Salomon. You started naming off brands, Saucony, of course. You look at these, I don't want to say they're not small by any means, but you look at the giants like Nike and Adidas, like you said, they got the money. They're going to be all right. But these smaller ships who are able to be this more agile, I love to take in chances on people that you wouldn't think about, right? Like,
right.
Even I use J-Tips as an example. I knew J-Tips for his hats, of course, Savior brand, but I never was like, in my mind, it's like, oh, tap J-Tips for a secret collaboration. And then when he did it, it just, the man exploded. Like, it was amazing to see what he did. And then again, Joe Fresh Goods, he did something small with New Balance, and it's like, oh, okay, that worked. Oh, it's still working 5 years later. It's amazing to see that they're understanding how to take chance on new people. And even, I mean, Nike,
Salehi, you know, you got Salehi. You know, these last 5 years, black designers from the streets have had a chance to cook.
Yeah.
And you've seen what it's done, and it's been beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
All across the board, you know, and the more that you let, you know, people that's really from the culture cook, is the better that the food will taste, because we know the ingredients that it takes to make the communities happy.
Yeah, 100%, man. And not only that, like letting them do their thing, getting like a real ear to the street and getting real flavor and real culture in these shoes is one thing, and it's just a beautiful thing. And I know a lot of people aren't going to agree with the next thing I say, but I love that I'm getting shoes now that when I was a kid looking at, you know, whatever website, whatever form that I thought were just unattainable, they're coming back. I mean, I missed on Galaxy phones twice now, but the fact that I can still probably find a pair and it not be a mortgage payment or these things like Undefeated Fours were just like a unicorn, this mythical creature, that I'm able to possibly get these things now added to my collection. So I got the classics, the foundation where everything's built on, but I'm also getting these new creations from these amazing artists like yourself, Trinidad, who are just coming out with these just great things for the future. So in 10, 20 years, they start retroing things like this again, I can just, you know, you just keep adding on. It's just the cycle's there. Like I can get best of both worlds right now. And I think it's just amazing for someone who likes to collect sneakers or someone who just loves the process of how these sneakers are coming about.
Exactly.
Yeah, so I think it's in the greatest place. I mean, reselling, look, get your money. I'm not mad at you all the time
because
it gives me the ability now when I couldn't as a kid back in, you know, late 90s, early 2000s when I was like really getting into shoes. I couldn't go back and find like on the internet, find a shoe easily. So that helps me. I can reach back to find things. But so I give resellers that it's easy for me to find things when I want them. I don't want to pay that much for them, but it's cool. Right. I mean, I like that we're in a place where it's become accessible.
For sure. And it's going to be, it needs to be more of that, you know? So I'm happy that it's moving in the direction and the conversation's being had, you know, and anything that was ever changed, there was also an issue. There was a conversation that had to be had, whether it was an argument, whether it was a war, whether it was a riot, whether it was a protest, you know what I'm saying? Like, you say how you feel, because both sides have a valid point, you know, and but the change is going to happen. There's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, no, that's for sure, man. That is for sure. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on, brother. I know you got a lot of things going on, so I really do thank you for the time, man. And this is a great conversation. I really did enjoy it, man. And before we let you go, is I mean, anything forthcoming? I know we got the restaurants in the work, got homework that has just opened up not too long ago, which is, like, from everything I've seen on the page, looks like it's been an amazing, amazing place. But anything else you want to tell people about?
I mean, those are the things, man. Those are the things, man. Come down to the shop when you're in Atlanta. When we drop My Biggest Hater, which is my next single, stream it, listen to it, do the All The Way challenge with me. You know what I'm saying? When I come out popping on tours and coming out of different cities, you know, if you really rock with me, you know, I want that support. I ain't going to act fake about it, you know. So, you know, I appreciate community and community appreciate me. I appreciate our people because our people hold me down. You know, but I appreciate all people and everyone that, you know, has respect. You know, that's what this life is about for me. So check me out, guys. For sure, for sure. TikTok, IG, all that, Twitter.
Yeah, man. No, and of course, it's all at Trinidad James. And of course, follow Homework as well so you know what's going on with the brand, with the shop. Yeah. But guys, again, this has been an episode of Sneaker History Podcast, our Coffee Time Kick segment. And we appreciate Trinidad. Until next time, guys, see ya.
Peace. Thank you, bro.
Oh, man, no problem, no problem.
Hey, y'all, Nick here. One more thing before you take off. Do us a solid and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. Check the links in the description to help us keep the show going. And as always, we appreciate you listening. And don't forget to tell someone you like their kicks today. You never know how far a compliment will take you. And we all know how good it feels to be on the receiving end of some appreciation. Peace.